for the Athletic Podcast Network. This is The Update. I'm Adam Copeland. On today's show, we'll talk to Bill Lasky, former San Francisco Giants right-handed pitcher, and of course, pre- and post-game host for Giants baseball on the radio on the weekends on KNBR 104.5 and 680. We've got to talk about this Giants bullpen and also a thought on Willie Mays, who turned 90 years old on Thursday. The Giants cruising into a huge series this weekend against the San Diego Padres, who are in second place now in the National League West. The Giants holding on to that first place title by just a half game. All things we can talk about with Bill Lasky, who joins me next. It's Friday, May 7th. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the podcast Bill Lasky, of course, former San Francisco Giant. You hear him on Extra Innings on the post-game show for Giants baseball on the weekends on KNBR. You also hear him on the pregame, and he's also a good friend of mine. Bill, it's great to have you back, man. Talking baseball and maybe about a better team than we anticipated this season, right? How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good, Adam. Thanks for inviting me back on. It's always great talking baseball with you and listening for all the listeners listening, man. It's just good baseball talk when we start going. And 18-11, you can't shake your head on it. First place all by itself going into a good series coming up with the Padres this weekend.
I've seen a lot of fans, and you see this on Twitter and social media, and people are kind of like upset about how some of the bullpen's been managed at the back end of games. And then I turn around and everything you just mentioned, Bill, 18-13, they're in first place, leaving a 2-4 road trip in Colorado. Do you think that's because fans are like kind of feeling the opportunity here that, wow, they're a better ball club than we thought? Or do you think there's really some criticism that needs to be had about the bullpen management? I think that's probably the biggest question mark on the team right now, and we can get into specifics in a minute, but just sort of your thoughts on the fan reaction to how the bullpen's being used and your surprise about the team.
Well, I think the fans, even if they were 31-0, would find a way that they would argue about something. It's just difficult, and we've talked about this. You and I talked about it last year with Gabe Kapler, how he manages the bullpen with Bailey as his pitching coach. And there's just so many different jobs that they need to isolate and put certain roles in. That's what, you know, pitching was when I was back. Everybody had a long man, middle man, short man. They have to distinct of what they need to do with righties and lefties, and they just still haven't done it. With McGee struggling at the end, which we were just like, wow, who is this guy? In the beginning of the season, he was miraculous. His fastball was 95, 96 with the elevation going up and then hitting the knee-high strike. That's what was great about him. But now we're not seeing that. We're not seeing the 95. We're seeing 92, 93. And in Colorado, he got turned around. I was really surprised at how he threw. And now you don't know who's going to be the closer. Tyler Rogers going to go in there, or is it somebody else? But Duvall came in, and it just he didn't throw right. You know, only threw a couple fastballs, and you can't just go in there throwing sliders in Colorado. It just doesn't work, just the light air and the movement on the pitch and things like that. And I'm kind of in there with the fans. I would like to see more direction on how he's going to put different pitchers in different roles in the bullpen.
Well, and I think it kind of worked out that way at the start of the season. Like, to your point, Jake McGee was – they wouldn't announce it before the year that McGee was going to be the closer, and then it was pretty apparent early on. He converted – like his first six opportunities, didn't give up a run in his first seven outings or something like that. And now you're right, he's getting knocked all over the ballpark. Seems to me, though, that right-handed relief is going to be the bigger issue here. They decided they had so many lefties, they ship Wandy Peralta to New York, right? Like, I thought he was a pretty good back end of the bullpen arm. So what do you think about the right side of things right now? Obviously, you mentioned Camilo Doval, Gregory Santos, still very young. There are some guys out there if they want to go try to find some help, but how much more faith do you put into Matt Whistler? There's just not a lot of help right now from the right-handed side of the bullpen, and I'm wondering what Logan Webb's future is. Is he a bullpen guy with Johnny Cueto coming back?
You know, I'm right there with you with Cueto coming back Sunday. We just don't know where Logan Webb's going to fit in that bullpen. Is he kind of the bridge guy in that sixth, seventh inning? Possibly. Littell is a really nice surprise coming over from the Twins. He's pitched very well, and he's working on the split finger. The breaking ball's better. He pitched really well in Colorado. I think you're questioning Whistler, and I think that's a good question because he comes in and he's just all slider. And when he misses, it's right across the plate. You know, when you're giving up base hits to the pitcher in that scenario he did in Colorado, it hurts you. And those are the outs that you need to get, and he didn't get them. and it ended up costing them runs. In that fourth inning when Webb got squeezed, I thought Logan Webb got really squeezed by the umpire behind home plate that inning. It just seemed so many borderline pitches. And then on the opposite side, it seemed like he opened it up against the Giant hitters. And it was just a fiasco, that whole fourth inning with Webb struggling and then Whistler coming in. The right-hand side, you got Trapiano down in Sacramento that might get a shot. He threw the ball real well in spring training. I think there's options, but we just need to see what they're going to do. I think getting rid of Wandy Peralta for Tauchman, I'll take that trade anyway, because Tauchman's a ball player. He's a stud, and I really like to see what he can do on the everyday, in which we have batting averages getting up there and the home run power. Of course, he hit the home run off Musgrove in San Diego, and I think that's a good find for them.
Yeah, I think it's a great find. You find enough value in your bullpen that you can move it for a guy who can play almost every day, is a good base runner. He's got the tools to be an everyday big leaguer. Mike Tauchman is a guy who made his debut at Oracle Park, I guess, when he came up with the Rockies a few years ago. So that's kind of cool for him. And also that identified, I don't want to say it was a gaping hole, but they like to do these line changes, right? They like to have their right-handed lineup versus their left-handed lineup. And I think over the last 2 weeks where we've seen more injuries, those sort of line shifts, while they've played decent baseball, I feel like these injuries are kind of starting to make a day-to-day impact, right? You don't have Yastrzemski out there against righties. You don't have, who else is it? Solano's not out there. You've lost LaStella now. Wilmer Flores banged up. So I do feel like they've identified that left-handed center fielder against right-handed pitching, but a little bit of a lack of consistency, you think, from that side of the plate?
Yeah, I agree with you there. And these injuries are piling up. It's an older team, as we've talked about several times, and those are the things you're going to go through, the highs and lows of injuries. It's not just the Giants. If you look over across Major League Baseball, a lot of guys are on the IL. It's just, you know, trying to get through it, and that's what the Giants are trying to do. You get Yaz back in there at 100%. That's going to give you a nice bat in the lineup, and I want to see him with Tauchman at the top of the order. LaStella, you know, was just starting to hit the ball, and he gets injured.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was starting to see him a little bit better in the beginning of the year. It just looked like he was scuffling. I mean, when do you see him take three strikes for strike three? And I was just like, what's going on here? You know, so some things have to manage by itself, and in injuries is that part. And you just have to go day to day with these guys. We don't know about Flores. He hit that ball off his knee and it looked like somebody shot him from the stands.
Jeez.
But, you know, it's just tough. That's what's a 162-game grinder. That's why it's just a marathon. You keep hearing all about it, but that's what comes out with all these injuries. And you always find, you know, that diamond in the rough, and that could be possibly with Vossler or somebody else at AAA.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Just sort of piggybacking on what you just said, as a pitcher, you were out there and have to take your at bat and hack one off your knee like that and have to go out and throw?
Well, you know, one of the things that happened to me, we got into a beanball roll, a war in Chicago, and Steve Trout hit me in the knee, and I thought I broke my knee in several spots. I was down on the ground and going, oh, my knee! You know, and sure enough, you know, it was only a bruise, but for me, it felt like somebody broke my leg in three spots, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's difficult, you know, especially with these guys, and they have shin guards on and ankle guards on, and then they miss the guard, and you're like, oh, man. I just don't ever want to get hit in the shin because, I mean, that has to hurt like hell, getting in the shin with your bone just sitting there. And, you know, same thing with elbows and when you get drilled in the shoulder or your wrist or your hand. I don't know how these guys come right back and they get right in that box like nothing happened. I mean, I'd be like, no, I don't want to hit today. I'll take the day off.
Well, and then they yell from the dugout at you, don't rub it, Bill, don't rub it.
Oh yeah, that's number one. Or you always hear, did it hurt me? Did it hurt you? Doesn't hurt my elbow right now. My elbow's fine. You know, there's so many things, especially pitchers. Pitchers are the ones barking all the time. You know, the pitchers are always like, oh yeah, yeah, rub it, don't rub it. And you're sitting there going, oh man, that has to hurt like hell.
You know? Speaking of pitchers barking, I, by the way, this guy, you want to, you know, make yourself a fan favorite or get people to love you in your new city. How about Alex Wood, man? This guy, every time this guy makes an outing, he's got to be one of the more difficult at bats in all of baseball, considering how his windup comes at you with the knees and elbows, I think is what Mike Kruko would say. But I think on Wednesday night, he got tossed from the game from the dugout for arguing a bad call, man. You got to love that from a new guy.
Oh, you got to love that. And it's so funny because I was talking to Dave Brundage, the manager, and I said, you know, he says, we're going to have games where it's like four or five games in a row. And I said, the same umpires? He goes, yeah. And I go, well, you're going to have to do this because you're going to have your mascot. You're going to have to scream at the umpires when they look over. Just point to the bench because everybody's going to have mascot and you won't have to get thrown out. But definitely Alex Wood got called out on that. And no doubt that third base umpire was watching. That was a bad call on Caselli. I watched that play so many times. 3-2, he was taking his gear off and they ring him up, and I thought that was kind of a chicken call right there.
Were you ever in the dugout with somebody getting run from the dugout? Some guy who like wasn't in the ball game at all, had no business yelling at the umpire?
I'll tell you, a guy that was a chicken all the time was Atlee. Atlee used to scream stuff, and then he'd look and he'd be like, what do you mean? I didn't say anything. I mean, he'd be the perfect guy that would just scream intensely, and then all the umpires would look in and he'd be like, no, it's not me. Atlee was perfect for that role. He was always doing that, and we started pointing right at him. And then all of a sudden he stopped doing it because we're like, hey, we're not going to get in trouble. And Frank was the best. He would just like, give it to him. And then when they'd look in, he'd go, hey, I don't know who's saying that, you know. But yeah, it's so much. But I was glad Alex Wood did that. A veteran move right there from a pitcher. And at that time, first and second, the Giants were rallying in the seventh inning to come back and a 3-2 pitch. I just didn't think that was the right thing to do in that position of the game.
I'm with you. I think that sort of, you know, as a manager or a head coach does it sometimes in like basketball, get a double technical, get himself ejected, or a manager will do it in baseball to kind of light a fire under his guys. I thought that was kind of cool. And you're right, a veteran move sort of to keep the flame going and to, he knows what's going on out there, man. This guy's pitching the playoffs, pitching the World Series, and I think he's been a great ad so far for the Giants.
Yeah, but getting to his pitching, I mean, he's been fantastic. Oh, yeah. I was a little upset that he didn't go out in the sixth inning of that game. He was throwing a ball well. He only gave up four hits, a couple runs, and that was that home run to Crone. But I would have loved to seen, and I want to ask Bailey or even Kapler down the road, you know, with these starting pitchers, you always had the guy go out there for another inning until somebody gets on, because sometimes you might get three line drives and you get another inning in. And I wish that would have happened with him at that time. I thought he was throwing the ball still pretty well for the game, and it was a tie game at the time. But, you know, at that point, that's up to Kapler and Bailey on what moves they wanted. And, you know, you had Rodgers pretty aggressively coming into a 1-2-3 inning, and I would have loved to have seen him going out for another inning in that game too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's and I've been wondering about this too, how you manage those situations, because you're right. You know, you're thinking about the old style of game, and I say old style like 2 years ago, where you didn't have to have a pitcher come in and face three guys. So I do wonder about that when you're trying to set up your matchups beyond the next inning. You used to frequently see Boach run a guy out there, and it's like, all right, we're going hitter by hitter, or if a guy gets on base, then you're getting yanked. And I think there's a counter argument to that. Like, if he's on that short of a leash, why send him back out? But I don't think any situation is cut and dry. So you're right. Getting into these 7-inning games and the 11th, or the runner on second and extra innings in the 10th, I think how you manage your matchups is all much different than what we're used to, man.
100%, Adam. And in that game, you know, they had a 4-2 lead, then a 6-2 lead, and you would have never thought McGee was going to come into a 6-2 lead and just start giving a base hit after base hit. And
yeah, two outs, too.
Yeah, two-thirds of an inning, and then Crone comes up, and they brought Duvall in, and I just wonder if you would have kept him in one more hitter. But lefty-righty, he wasn't really placing the ball where he wanted to, and the velocity was down, so they wanted to see what Duvall had to do, and it was just too bad. I wish he would have won more fastballs, but he threw more sliders, and you can't look back. But that game just it irritated me after that game. I thought they could have easily won a sweep of that doubleheader, and yesterday's game they were battling that. So, you know, you could have easily be 2.5, 3.5 games up, but you're only half a game up, but still they'll take it. Coming into the home series, and they're playing well at home, so looking for a great series against the Padres, and then a quick two-game with Texas Rangers. So it should be a pretty good homestand.
Yeah, it's going to be an important homestand this weekend, and I know they've got to, you know, we get the Mother's Day thing on Sunday. I'm going out Saturday with my mom to take her out to celebrate. But that's Friday great. Night, we celebrate Willie Mays, man. And anybody who's put on a Giants uniform, like, you come through the ballpark, you didn't have to play with him, you didn't have to see him play, but you show up and you're a Giant. Everybody's got a story about Willie Mays. I imagine, Bill, that at some point you walked into the clubhouse and there he was, dude. Maybe in uni with the high-pitched voice talking to you. You have a background Willie Mays story, first time you met him? Something you can share with me, dude?
Well, you know, back in the early 80s, they used to have the old-timers game.
Right, right.
The old-timers game, and you'd see Willie McCovey, Gaylord Perry. You'd see all these guys in uniforms, and they'd go out to this old-timer game, and you're sitting there going, oh, my God, that's Willie Mays. And he'd get up to bat and swing, you know. And the biggest thing that I always say about Willie Mays is the first time I shook his hand. His hands are so big, so strong, and powerful, and you just are going, my goodness, look at this man. He is such a strong person. And one of the greatest guys, if you sit down and talk to him, his memory is just unbelievable about things he did. I've gone to several different events and literally sat next to him and Renee, who takes care of him, and we've sat there 15, 20 minutes, and we'd start talking, and people would just come around us and listen, and he'd always say, just listen, don't talk, let me talk, you know, and we're like, hey, let him talk, you know, because his stories were just on point about everything. And that's what's great about Willie Mays, you know, his stories and all the things he did, and the players, Jackie Robinson stories, to all the different players that he played with back in the New York Met days and then coming over here, Hank Sauer stories. And it's just a pleasure to listen to him. And he's turning 90 years old. And, you know, some of the things he's doing now, he always wanted to go to college. Now he's setting up college scholarships for kids. And he gives more than people ever would believe. And this man just does it from his heart. He's got a golden heart. And what a great, great superstar the Giants will always have in their back pocket.
You know how we know that everything you just said is true, Bill, is because nothing you've said is different from how anybody else talks about Willie Mays. Nobody says the same thing about you for 90 years and it's fake. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
true.
That's legit. Like, Willie Mays is out here still making a difference in kids' lives. So it's great that he's made this impact. I'm lucky as a 32-year-old to get to see Willie Mays at the ballpark all the time, right? To get to see all these Hall of Famers around.
And Adam, when you start looking at what he's done in baseball, and you're just like, my goodness, you know, this guy is just the best player ever. And, you know, you think about it, and you're just thinking about Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle. No, this is Willie Mays.
Yeah, it's Willie Mays.
Willie Mays.
Yeah.
And the Say Hey Kid and all the other things. And, you know, Mike Murphy, who was in a clubhouse attendant for so many years, they'd be in their office talking all the time. And Murph has so many great stories about all the people, but he is just like Willie Mays is the man, and I think that's all Giant fans will always remember him as.
That's why he's got the statue out front at 24 Willie Mays Plaza, right, Bill?
With 24 palm trees around him. That's what's cool.
And I think we can go 24-foot-high wall out in right field. I think that's true, too. So
yeah, I think so, too.
Anyway, good stuff, Bill. Thanks so much for coming by again, man. We'll catch up with you again middle of the season, dude.
Always great chatting with you, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Great stuff from Bill Lasky. Always fun talking with Bill, and great insight on Willie Mays. We're going to continue that discussion, by the way, next week on Monday. We'll talk to Marty Lurie, the pre- and post-game host at KNBR 104.5 and 680 for Giants baseball, with Bill Lasky and Kerry Crowley on the weekend. You hear Marty, of course, all throughout baseball season. Maybe no better guy to talk Willie Mays with than Marty Lurie, who will join me on Monday right here on The Update. Thank you to Bill. Thank you to Brian. Thank you to you, the listener. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever it is you're listening. We've got a lot to get to this summer. A lot of Giants baseball talk. A lot of A's baseball talk. One of the best teams in all of baseball and in the American League. We'll continue that discussion next week as well. And NBA playoffs right around the corner. But a conversation with Marty Lurie about Willie Mays on Monday. Until then, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you then.